Now, the posters are well up here ahead of next month's European and local elections, and they've started going up in the north too today, ahead of elections to Westminster on July the 4th. British Prime Minister and Conservative Party leader Rishi Sunak toured broadcast studios before embarking on a two-day whistle-stop trip of England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Labour leader Keir Starmer is in south-east England in a sign he wants to make inroads in Tory areas. Speaking in Kent today, he made standards of living a key theme, saying previous generations had been confident their children would be better off.
But can we still say that we got that confidence in the future of our country after 14 years of this chaos and decline? I don't think so. For a government to leave after 14 years, our country, with living standards worse than when they started, is absolutely unforgivable.
Let's go to London and Belfast to Alva Ray, Associate Editor with Bloomberg UK, covering politics in Westminster, and Freya McClements, Irish Times Northern Editor. Thank you both for speaking with us today. Alva, I'll come to you first. How's day one been?
Busy. I think that everyone in Westminster is still kind of reeling from the shock of Rishi Sunak calling the election quite unexpectedly yesterday. We had a quite strange day yesterday where the rumours just started to build and build, and it became clearer that he was going to go for this election earlier than was expected. Even senior people in the cabinet, Jeremy Hunt, were not in the loop about this decision. We've reported this morning that his allies were actually thinking he might be sacked yesterday because they were thinking it was a reshuffle. So definitely there's a sense of sort of grinding into gear and the campaign's getting going, but sort of people hastily rearranging their plans and unbooking holiday in both camps.
Is a Labour government inevitable?
So Labour have been at least 20 points ahead in the polls for 18 months, and they have been leading in the polls for about 2 years since Boris Johnson and Partygate. So in a sense, it does feel a bit inevitable. It feels a bit priced in, and that's sort of the consensus that most people around here are working on, but no one has voted yet. And we've seen in other election campaigns that the campaign can really change things with the spotlight on the leaders in 2017. Theresa May began 20 points ahead and then really fell after quite a bad campaign, even though she still managed to lead the Conservatives into being the largest party. She did lose seats. So I think there's still a bit of nervousness in the Labour camp that poll lead might narrow as the campaign goes on. But frankly, There were Tory MPs hugging each other goodbye yesterday in the Houses of Parliament. There is a real sense that after 14 years, the Tories are probably on their way out. And the real question is the scale of the Labour victory.
Stay with us, Alva. Let's go north. Freya McClements, election season across the island now. You're very welcome to the carnival. And to be clear, in a link between both those elections, Sinn Féin's Michelle Gildren, you're the current MP in Fermanagh West Tyrone, is not going to take part in the Westminster election now, going to concentrate on the European election.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Michelle Gildenew confirming this morning that her sole focus is going to be on contesting that European seat for Midlands Northwest. And to be honest, I mean, that's not a surprise. You know, Sinn Féin would have strategised this out when they made the decision to stand her in Midlands Northwest rather than to stand again as an MP in Fermanagh South Tyrone, which she's currently the MP there. We knew that an election was coming. Nobody, I think, expected that it was going to come quite so soon. The consensus was that it would be in the autumn. So, you know, Sinn Féin will have figured out that they had strength enough in that constituency to be able to switch Michelle Gildenew then and be able to then run a different candidate and still hold on to that seat. And I mean, it's worth saying, it does say something about just how strong Sinn Féin feels it is in that constituency, because that is one of the most marginal seats. I mean, Michelle Gildenew won that seat in Fermanagh South Tyrone by only 57 votes. So the fact that they felt that they could shift her to Midlands Northwest, but, you know, again, Sinn Féin, this is the strategy that they've decided on. They're not going to change that mid-tack. I mean, what sort of a message would that send to voters in Midlands Northwest if they decided to switch her back north? So the decision has been made. And I mean, worth pointing out, Sinn Féin are the only party involved in all of this that is now facing an election at pretty much the same time in both jurisdictions on the island. So that's an additional challenge for them.
We broadcast yesterday how Geoffrey Donaldson is not going to contest his seat in Lagan Valley, and the DUP in some trouble in that constituency, and may too be in East Belfast if and when Naomi Long decides she's going to run. Do we know yet?
We don't. The latest I have, my understanding is, I'm told it's not decided yet, that discussions are ongoing in terms of whether Naomi Long will stand as the candidate in East Belfast or not for Alliance. I'm told to expect something early next week. But the reality of this is, I mean, the DUP are under threat in a number of seats. East Belfast is one of those. And why that's so significant is because the incumbent MP is Gavin Robinson, who is now the leader of the DUP. So if he were to lose his seat, he currently has a majority of just under 2,000 votes. So if he were to lose his seat, given that everything that the DUP has been through in recent times, the turmoil going on within the party, that would be a serious blow to them. But I mean, to come back to Naomi Long, realistically, that candidate needs to be Naomi if Alliance is going to have a chance of taking that seat from Gavin Robinson, and whether or not this will come down to decisions around what is better for the party, and possibly also what Naomi Long would prefer to do herself, because she's currently the Minister for Justice in the Stormont Parliament, and she really loves being Minister for Justice, and she would have to give that up if she were to win the seat. And to come back to Lagan Valley, this obviously was Geoffrey Donaldson's seat. He had been the incumbent there since 1998, I think. He is no longer standing. He's currently facing charges of historical sexual offences. So he is out of the picture. So the question at the minute is, who is going to be the candidate who will replace him? In Lagan Valley, in the Assembly, we have two pretty high-profile names. One is the Deputy First Minister, Emma Little Pengelly. There's also the current Minister for Education, Paul Given. It would be a big gamble for the DUP to put Emma Little Pengelly into that, to stand as the candidate there for Westminster. If she loses, that's catastrophic in terms of a vote of confidence for her as Deputy First Minister, and would also have an impact on the stability of the institutions.
Okay.
Equally, if she wins, you suddenly then have to find a Deputy First Minister. But again, in Lagan Valley, Alliance have Saoirse Eastwood, really high profile, really well regarded
candidate. We could speculate for some time, and no time to go back to Alva to find out about candidates still trying to make up their mind too in London, including Jeremy Corbyn and Nigel Farage. But lots more time over the next 6 weeks ahead of the UK elections. Alva Ray and Freya McClements, thank you for that.